Okay, our Deacon Sullivan has a good, happy Sunday prayer for us this morning.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we give thanks and praise to you for this beautiful weather and for the love and grace you've shown us. We ask that you send the Holy Spirit here today to be our teacher and to guide us through this lesson in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, let's sing as unto the Lord on this absolutely lovely day. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him praise, give him praise. Give glory and honor and power to his name, Jesus, the name above all names. Sing again. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him praise, and give him praise. Give glory and honor and power to his name, Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, the name above all names. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand, just the sheep of his hand. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For our God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great and greatly to be praised. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. For our God, you are great and greatly to be praised. Our God, you are great and greatly to be praised. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. The heavens declare his righteousness. The people see his glory. For you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you do reign over all the earth, over all the peoples of this earth, on over everything. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, and in honor of Pentecost Sunday, I'd like to sing another song that is about the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Mold me, make me, heal me, break me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Okay, try singing it with me. You can do it. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Mold me, make me, heal me, break me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Raise your hands to the Lord and say, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. That's what we need. That's what's called revival. We need a fresh anointing, not a stale one. We need a fresh anointing, fresh oil, fresh fire, renewed and all those kind of things. And it's very important, and particularly as today is Pentecost Sunday. Now, we will be looking, you can get your Bibles out and turn to the second chapter of the book of Acts. That's Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Good. And Sean, how many verses are in that chapter?
47.
Acts chapter 2 has, you said, 47. Yes, very good. Well, we're going to read from verse 1 through verse 31. Okay? Let's start with Mrs. Lear on my left. And if we read those 31 verses, so...
I'll read 8.
Say again?
I'll read 8 of them, so we'll read 8 and you'll read what's left.
Yeah.
Okay. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 from the English Standard Version. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in his own native language?" That was Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 from the English Standard Version.
And continuing verses 9 through 16. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." And that was Acts chapter 2, verses 9 through 16.
I'm reading from Acts chapter 2, the English Standard Version, verses 16 through 24. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams, shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, losing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it." Right from Acts chapter 2 in the English Standard Version, verses 16 to 24.
And I'm reading from Acts chapter 2, continuing on from verse 25 in the English Standard Version, where David says concerning him, "I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy Spirit, your Holy One, see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness and your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day, being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne. He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." Praise the Lord for the reading of his word. I've just read from verses 25 to 31 in Acts chapter 2. Well, needless to say, there's a lot that can be spoken of, as in every chapter of Scripture. This particular one celebrates, if you will, the beginning of the church. And as I said, today is Pentecost Sunday. And that's why I asked Deacon Prayer to open us with a happy prayer, because Pentecost is a happy celebration. And of course, as you look at the first verse, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Now, in some translations you read they were in one place and in one accord. Now think about this in our own personal lives. And I can honestly say the peace in my home that my wife Kathy and I are enjoying is because we are rarely on opposite sides of anything. We are in one mind and one accord. And because of that, great things can happen. Think about that in your own lives, in your own home, and so forth. When you bring somebody into your home, or bring somebody around your home, or whatever, that does not agree with you, is not in the same lifestyle as you, is not in the same way of you as you are, and especially if that way is not the same as the book of Acts is talking about here, of one mind and one accord. Look what happened to them, and then the Holy Spirit came upon them when they're in one mind and one accord in one place. So actually in this English Standard Version, it drops out the one accord, but it does say all together in one place. Now we know that from the Tower of Babel, or Babel as some people would say, that people were spread all over the earth. But in this particular event, the Lord brought people from all over the diaspora, the known world, in other words, to Jerusalem on this particular day. Now, why did he choose this particular day? And somebody would say, well, do you know why he chose that day? Yes, I do. Because, why did he choose it? Because it was the same as the Feast of Tabernacles. And I'm going to read a little bit about what that is in a minute or two, but I want to draw your attention to a couple other areas of Scripture here in Acts chapter 2. For example, the long list that we read of people from all these places, half of them we can't even pronounce the names. We hear them telling in our own tongues, what are they telling? The mighty works of God. Now, this such a thing is gibberish. We watched a movie the other day that was a very dark movie. Probably shouldn't have even finished watching it. It was so dark, but it had a message that I needed to watch, that the people were actually doing, like what some people are called, Pentecostals, that handle snakes and they talk in gibberish. Well, folks, that's not Pentecostalism. That's not like the day of Pentecost. They weren't handling snakes, although they had cloven tongues of fire. Now, what does that mean? Did they look like there were candles all lit up? I really don't know. But the point is more likely that that's an allegory for saying the people who were just ordinary suddenly became very unordinary, very extraordinary, because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in them and on them. And of course, this book of scriptures in book of Acts, this is the Acts of the Apostles. And I want to remind you that it wasn't the Acts of the Apostles, it was the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. And it's the same thing for us today. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not being, and being anointed by the Holy Spirit is not just about speaking in tongues, although I do, and it happened by God's sovereign grace, a second separate work of grace. I didn't really ask for it, but then again, the Lord came upon me when my heart and my intentions were right. And so the question was asked, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. And of course, Peter had to explain to them, hey, it's 9:00 in the morning. We're not drunk, as you suppose. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the being filled with the Holy Spirit, being anointed with the Holy Spirit, is there's an evidence there. The people can see that this group of Galileans, and remember, when people call somebody a Galilean, that was not a compliment. It really was a put-down, like saying, you country bumpkin. And suddenly they speak in these tongues that people from all over the world recognize. That's my tongue. That's the language of my country. How did these Galileans, these country bumpkins, how could they do that? And it's the same thing I say to people today. Have you been born again? And you can't be baptized in the Holy Spirit and been filled with the Holy Spirit if you haven't been born again. One thing first and then the other. And of course, that people, ordinary people, become extraordinary through the power of the Holy Spirit working them to accomplish God's will. And what is it? When people ask what this means, it's because this gives you extraordinary power to speak of the mighty works of God. And of course, is it a fulfillment of some Old Testament prophecy? Yes. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, I believe it's verse 21. And of course, you look at verse 21 here in the book of Acts 2, it says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved." Now, of course, I'm calling on you, Lord Jesus, and I can tell you in my own personal testimony, the day came when I was down in the pit. And all the other stuff that accompanies you when you're down in the pit, or in the pits. And I called out to the Lord, and he saved me. And then shortly thereafter, he baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you would have seen a flame of fire in the top of my head, like lit up like a candle, but I certainly was definitely changed. In fact, from that moment, I remember going into town where I lived in Hanamaui, Hawaii, walking around and tapping people on the shoulder to tell them about Jesus. And of course, a lot of them knew me before I was saved, when I was lost in the world and I was a bad boy. They knew me and they thought, whoa. And of course, they'd look at me kind of scared, like, okay, I'll listen to you, but what's this about? It was pretty amazing. Well, Pentecost, what is Pentecost? Pentecost is regarded as the birthday of the Christian church. Pentecost is the festival when Christians celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is celebrated on Sunday, 50 days after Easter. The name comes from the Greek Pentecost, which means 50th. It also is called Whitsun, but does not necessarily coincide with Whitsun Bank Holiday in UK. Some call it Whit Sunday in England. Pentecost is regarded as the birthday of the Christian church and the start of the church's mission to the world. Now, why did Jesus say, go into Jerusalem and wait for me? Wait till you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. So he gave a command to them and they didn't know what they were waiting for. And whether they're in the upper room or a lower room, doesn't make any difference. So get sidetracked on that. And they were waiting. They didn't know what they were waiting for, but they did at least obey. The voice of the Lord said, go and wait in Jerusalem until you've been imbued with power. So the whole point here is that Pentecost is regarded as the birthday of the Christian church and the start of church's mission to the world because, hey, if you go out into the world, and particularly now we're in a postmodern world, you go out in the world without being filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to get chewed up and spit out. And we wonder why, you know, we're overcome by, and people are always wondering, why is the church being overcome by this and that? And yes, we discussed about how homosexuals come and expect to be married and people go to the church and they expect to be able to get help getting an abortion and stuff. This is not of the Lord. This is of the devil. And this has gotten into the church. Why? Because many of these churches no longer are filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't have the power of the Holy Spirit to drive away those things that are so bad. And Pentecost, in celebrating Pentecost, and remember that the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the way the Christians understood God. And by the way, if you ever see me go like this, many people have seen me make a cross, either on their forehead or sometimes I'll cross myself like this and they'll say, "Oh, are you a Roman Catholic?" No, I'm not a Roman Catholic, but I'm a Trinitarian Christian. What does that mean? I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I need the Holy Trinity to help me. Trinitarianism, as opposed to Unitarianism. Pentecost is a happy festival. Ministers in church often wear robes with red and the design of a symbol of the flames in which the Holy Spirit came to earth. Hymns sung at Pentecost take the Holy Spirit as their theme include "Come Down, O Love Divine," "Come, Holy Ghost, Our Souls Inspire," "Breathe on Me, Breath of God," "O Breath of Life, Come Sweeping Through Us," "There's a Spirit in the Air," "Spirit of the Living God," which we sang, "Fall Afresh on Me." And this is something each and every day, most of us like to take a bath or a shower every day and clean off the dirt and grit of the world. I certainly got very dirty yesterday doing a project around the yard and a lot of stuff around the house. I got a lot of dirt on me. I saw it when I took a shower last night. I saw the dirt come off of me. Well, at the same time, think about this each and every day to get the dirt of the world off of you. And that doesn't come off by Lifebuoy soap or any other kind of soap you can buy. Only the Holy Spirit can cleanse us, and on a daily basis. And so we should be willing to raise our hands to the Lord or however and say, "Holy Spirit, come fresh on me each and every day. Make it a fresh and new day. And give us that power each and every day, the continued anointing that we need to go in a postmodern world." Well, the symbols of Pentecost are those of the Holy Spirit and include flames, wind, and the breath of God and a dove. The first Pentecost comes from a Jewish harvest festival called Shavuot. The apostles were celebrating this festival when the Holy Spirit descended upon them. It sounded like a very strong wind, and it looked like tongues of fire. The apostles then found themselves speaking in foreign languages inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's called glossolalia, by the way. People passing by at first thought they must be drunk, but the apostle Peter told the crowd, as the scriptures say, that the apostles were full of the Holy Spirit. Well, some people have said to me, "Why are you so joyous? Why are you so happy? What drug are you on? What happy pill did you take? What have you been drinking?" You know, a lot of times a friend of mine will use the reference, "Well, gee, you've stayed in pretty good shape even with everything's gone. What embalming fluid have you been drinking?" And I always like to tell him, "I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so you need to be also." And so the issue is, there's been a lot of bad talk about Pentecostals and Pentecostal churches and whatever else. But don't get into that. Get into the fact that the scriptures tell us this is what the Lord wants of us. The Christian holy day of Pentecost, which is celebrated on the seventh Sunday after Easter, commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and other followers of Jesus Christ while they were in Jerusalem celebrating the Feast of Weeks, as it's described in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Okay, in Eastern Christianity, Pentecost can also refer to the entire 50 days of Easter through Pentecost inclusive. Hence, the book containing the liturgical text is called Pentecosteron, since it depends on the date of Easter. Pentecost is a movable feast. The holy day is called also, like I said, White Sunday or Whit Sunday, especially in the United Kingdom, where traditionally the next day, Whit Monday, was also a public holiday, now fixed by statute on the last Monday in May. In Germany, Pentecost is called Pfingsten and often coincides with scholastic holidays and the beginning of many outdoor and springtime activities, such as festivals and organized outdoor activities by youth organizations. The Monday after Pentecost is a legal holiday in many European nations. Now, the etymology, and I hope you know what etymology, we're not talking about entomology, that's about insects. Etymology, the derivation of words. The term Pentecost comes from the Greek Pentecost, meaning 50th. It refers to the festival celebrated on the 50th day after Passover, also known as Feast of Weeks, the Feast of 50 in rabbinic tradition. In the Septuagint uses the word Pentecost to refer to the Feast of Pentecost only twice. In the Deuterocanonical Book of Tobit and 2 Maccabees, the Septuagint writers also use the word in two other senses to signify the year of Jubilee, an event which occurs every 50th year, and in several passages of chronology as an ordinal number. The term has also been used in literature of Hellenistic Judaism by Philo of Alexandria and Josephus. Okay, you're going to remember all that? Probably not. Well, maybe you will. I hope you will. But the main thing I want you to take away from this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, some people will tell you, some denominations will tell you, what happened on the day of Pentecost no longer happens. And may I say it, and many good friends that I've had, people I love, good Christians, for some reason, because they get bad taste in their mouth, if you will, about Pentecostals and Pentecostal churches, so they badmouth it. And I tell them, you're wrong. Because this is still happening, and I had to use myself as an example to somebody who said, this doesn't happen in modern times. Yes, it does. And I'm a good example of that because it happened to me, and I live in modern times. And I certainly wasn't brought up as a Pentecostal, and I wasn't brought up in a church that, I mean, they did celebrate Pentecost, but I never knew what it meant. Nobody explained it. You know, I mean, I don't even know if anyone who sat in that church even had an idea what it meant. But the point is, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it gave me a power I needed. And each day as I asked the Lord, continue to help me with this, because I'm surrounded by pagans, I'm surrounded by atheists, I'm surrounded by agnostics, I'm surrounded by every tick and mite there is. And I'm not talking about entomology there, about insects. I'm talking about people that act that way. And what's going to be the cleansing that I can get every single day that's better than a shower? You get showered by the Holy Spirit, that special anointing. I also want to mention to you that I was thinking about how... really, what's better for you? You know, some people say, what's better for me? It's better that nobody dislikes me. It's better for me that everybody likes me. It's better for me that nobody laughs at me. It's better for me that nobody thinks I'm drunk. And I've had to tell people when they said, what happy pill are you on, or what have you been drinking, and so forth. I don't drink and I don't take pills. I'm just filled with the Holy Spirit, and I have the joy of the Lord as my strength. So ask yourself, if you are day to day without joy, without gladness, and you become a Sadducee instead of a Gladducee, then something's wrong, and it isn't with the Lord. So what's better for you? And I want to remind you that God anoints who you are. Now, that's probably going to freak a lot of people. Well, if I'm a burglar, he anoints me as a burglar? No, of course not. I thought about the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, Catch Me If You Can. It's a good example. I mean, this guy was a fraud to extraordinaire. I mean, he played the captain of an airlines and did it. He, a surgeon, a lawyer, all kind of things, and he didn't have a law degree. He didn't have a license to fly a jumbo jet. How he did these things, he learned them on his own, I guess. But he didn't have, and so he got himself in trouble, and they couldn't catch him. But they finally did catch him. And so finally they said, you know what? We want you to come to work for us. So his criminal activity turned into being anointed by the Lord to help agencies catch other criminals. It takes a thief. You know, you saw that series at one time. Think about that. So who you are, the Lord anoints who you are. Not who you want to be, but who you are. What gifts he gave you at birth, and that you can sit down, and we've talked about this, and having a survey, so to speak, of the gifting that you have, or the giftings that you have. Well, take those things as if the offering to the Lord, and ask the Lord to anoint those things for you, because that's you. Instead of trying to be somebody else that you're not. And I think about, and I had this discussion the other day with a person where I said, you know, there are people that are doctors that were pushed into being doctors because their parents wanted them to, or being pushed into being a lawyer because their parents wanted to. For some reason, nobody in my family pushed me towards being a doctor, but they were pushing me to be a lawyer and then be a, you know, a senator or a politician or any of that kind of stuff, and I didn't do it. Because that's not who really I was. And so, who I was, who I am, I took that to the Lord, and the Lord anointed it, and I turned out to be a preacher. And I'm glad of it. And a singer. And somebody who prays for the Lord. I can handle tools, yes. I did yesterday. I can ride the tractor and mow and do all this kind of stuff. But all of that aside, what am I really anointed to do? Preach, teach, sing, pray. And I want to do that till there's no more life in me. And that comes through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And think about this. When you start speaking, do people listen to you? Or people run away from you? Now, some people may run away from you just simply because they consider you a holy roller and want to stay away, but really, most of the time people run away from us because they're not drawn to us. And the Holy Spirit can draw people to us because of the anointing that he has put upon us. So I want you to give that serious consideration, because in this postmodern world that we live in, we got to face the fact we are in a postmodern world. Most people don't want to think of a post-Christian world in some respects. And people don't want to face up to that and what that actually means. And of course, the issue is also that what's wrong with the church? Now, I've been known as a revivalist, evangelist, and so forth and so on, and having to go in and people bring me in. I used to think, okay, I'm going to open my suitcase and then, or my briefcase, and then out pops revival. No, that's not how it works. But the thing is to look at the responsibility of the church. If things have happened in our society that shouldn't be happening, has the church stood its ground? The church, just like it was born on the day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit? No, because a lot of those churches no longer, the Holy Spirit's not there. And honestly, if Jesus came in and sat in the first row, I think they'd kick him out because he wouldn't be dressed properly or the way they wanted or something like that, or because he was going to attract problems. There were people, as you read in Scripture, that didn't want Jesus to come into their area because he was casting demons out of pigs, and the pigs jumped in the ocean. Please don't come over here. It's nothing but trouble. So we face a lot of the same things, just like the early church did, and we need to have the same. And this is part of what revivalism and Pentecostalism is about. It's about seeing the church returned to the, we'll call it, purity, although the church wasn't totally pure at that time either, but to the strengths, to the direction, and to how quickly, remember how rejected they were and how fast they became the religion of the world. So, much more I could say about that, but time being what it is, we're going to pray now. Well, Father, we are thankful for the day of Pentecost and the reminder of Pentecost Sunday. Really, in a sense, every Sunday should be a Pentecost Sunday. And Holy Spirit, thank you for teaching us. Thank you for coming upon us. Thank you for healing us. We know that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. No matter how broken down our bodies are, you choose to dwell in our bodies and give us life and give us the newness of life. And for all those that are listening to this message today, whether it be on the internet or those gathered together, however they're listening to it, Lord, let them be filled with the Holy Spirit now. Let them be baptized in the Holy Spirit. O Lord God Almighty, Huria Bara Shakalabayadiyamasu, Ilalamaniyadamasatakaras. Yes, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our sight. And as always, we pray in whose name? Jesus, the only King. Amen and amen.